Turn to Genesis chapter number 30. Genesis chapter number 30. Tonight's message starts a series in the life of Joseph, in part from a book entitled The Patriarch of Character by John G. Butler. But as far as using some of his outline and things like that, to give him due credit for the work that he did. But in addition to that, in Genesis chapter number 30, verse 22 through 25, we see the very first mention of Joseph in the Bible. In verse number 22, it says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph, and said, The Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country." Dear Father God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, do open your word to us, and Lord, feed us from your word. Lord, as we study the character of Joseph, and Lord, what he did and what he, Lord, stood for, and how you used him, Lord, that we would look to our own lives and apply the truths in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we have the history of Joseph. He was born here. I would reckon he was born at a very young age, but he was definitely born to the 11th son of, as the 11th son of Jacob. He had 10 brothers older than him. Later on, we will see that Rachel has a second son, Benjamin, and that's part of the events that shape Joseph and bring Joseph around to the man that he is. The meaning of his name is listed out. God hath taken away my reproach. And as a name, knowing that often they're the parents of the Israelites, but the parents of families in the Middle East often would name their children on something that had significance to them. Even as many different cultures do that. My sister named many of her kids based on an event or something along those lines. So I have a nephew named Blue Moon, to give you an idea of some of the things where she was at. But it means something, and it was important to them when they named their children that there was something there. And it says, God hath taken away my reproach. As I was looking, I was trying to find something that would have caused her reproach. In fact, earlier in chapter number 30, verse number 1, it says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children or else I die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" We must understand, as we study through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that so much that happens in our lives is a direct result of God's work in our lives. There is no happenstance, and there is no chance, and there is no just things happening, but that God is in control. There are way too many people that believe and that teach that God is just sitting up in heaven playing chess, as it were, with the devil, and one of these days God will have the winning move and everything will be okay. But for the most part, he's just moving certain pieces, and we are inconsequential in his overall plan. And as we read through the Bible, we understand that that is not true. And that is not factual, that God has a very active part even in the creation of us in the womb and throughout our life. Whether we acknowledge Him as our Savior or we don't. Whether we acknowledge His leadership and His guidance in our life or we don't. So Jacob had it right in verse number 2, where he says, God has withheld. Well, I was trying to find, because she said, God hath taken away my reproach. What did she do that caused God to reproach her? And I can't find where God said, well, this is the reason why. And so much of the time, as you study, as Jacob met Rachel and immediately fell in love with her, worked for 7 years for her. You know the story is how he works for 7 years and he gets tricked by his father-in-law. And instead of lifting the veil and finding Rachel underneath, finds her sister. Works another 7 years, and it would seem like but a short time because he loved Rachel so much. And he marries her, and she's barren. Well, she finally, God takes away her report, verse 22, and God remembered Rachel. God hearkened unto her, and I believe that she spent much time in prayer, even as Samuel's mother, asking God to give her a son. Knowing that ever since Adam and Eve, and ever since they were kicked out of the garden, and ever since Eve started bearing sons, that the idea was maybe this one is the Savior. And she has Joseph and says, God hath taken away my reproach. When we have kids, and most of us are past that, I hope. Some of us are not there yet. Do we look at our children as adding to or taking away from our reproach, our enjoyment in life, or whatever? But as we consider Joseph and the character that he showed, the intention is that we not only apply the character traits that he showed to our own lives, but that we also use it in the lives of our children as we raise them or as they are raised, and that we help them see the value of certain character traits in their lives. As we consider his life and we think about our own, and so many times we just get snippets of somebody's life. We see his birth and we really don't have a look into Joseph's life until he's 17. There's a 17-year gap. We see the same thing with Jesus. He's born. We see him a short time later. And when the wise men come, and we see him a short time later when he's presented at the temple. And then all of a sudden, 30 years after his birth, he's starting his earthly ministry. We don't have those between times. And so we think, because our between times seem to always be in front of our face, well, you just don't understand. I'm the way I am because of what I have gone through and the challenges that I have faced. And you're correct, and we are. And we are exactly who we are based on the experiences that we've had. We're exactly who we are based on how we handle the experiences we've had. And there are certain events, and not to name all of them, but certain events that I chose out to look at, six of them, that shaped Joseph's life. first event that we really see is in Genesis chapter number 31, verses 1 through 42. Not to read the whole passage, but we see in this passage, verses 1 through 42, as Jacob takes flight from Laban. And we understand that Jacob started becoming a reproach, as it were, to Laban's sons. And understandably why, as you read through verses 1 and 2, that Laban wasn't very faithful. Laban wasn't very righteous in his dealings. His own daughter said, "He spent all of our money." Laban's sons in verse number 1 are saying, "Hey, this guy is taking away all of dad's money, all of dad's substance, and why is that a concern to them?" That's their inheritance that this brother-in-law has. And he sees that that he has done this, and so Jacob packs up as soon as Laban is gone out of town and basically runs for the hills. And Laban chases them, and all of this happens, and right before he catches up, in verse number 30, oh, I forget where exactly. I did not write that down. But God gets a hold of Laban and says, "You will not say anything to Jacob, good or bad." And he gets there, and Joseph sees, number one, dad picks up the family and runs from grandpa. I'm sure that he saw the things and overheard some of the stuff that was going on in the process of all of that, and I'm sure that he saw the look in his uncle's eyes of contempt and envy and hate. I'm sure he saw all of that, and then they run, and then he sees how God protects his dad from Laban. I believe also because here he is, a young man, that as his mom stole her dad's idols, doesn't ever say that she worshipped him, doesn't ever say what happens to him after this little thing goes. Is it a strong possibility that part of her reproach is involved in this? Good possibility. But as a young man, he sees mom being dishonest. Sees mom